All right, listeners, buckle up, because today's deep dive, well, it's a doozy.
Oh, I love a good doozy. Lay it on me.
We've got a listener out there who's basically challenged us to a mental puzzle competition. And honestly, I think they might have stumped us with this one.
You're not kidding. Let's hear it. What did they send?
So they send in this list, right? And it's like a grab bag of super complex issues. We're talking universal suffrage, welfare programs, women's rights, government going bankrupt, high taxes.
Oh, whoa, hold on. That's quite a mix. Okay, keep going. What else?
Struggling schools and like rock bottom birth rates. And the kicker is they want us to figure out how these things are all connected. Like, what's the common thread?
Okay. At first glance, you'd think these are all totally separate things, right? But I have a hunch this listener is onto something.
That's what we're here to find out. I mean, how can you even begin to connect, like, voting rights to the number of babies people are having? It seems almost impossible.
Yeah, see, that's where things get interesting. Because it's tempting to view societal problems like separate puzzle pieces scattered on a table. But in reality, it's way more like trying to solve one of those impossibly tangled garden hoses. Everything's intertwined.
You're telling me. All right, so to untangle this beast, where should we even start?
Well, we could tackle it from a bunch of different angles, honestly. But how about we start with something that's super relevant in the news these days, like women's rights?
Yeah, that's a good one. It's such a hot topic right now. But how do you even begin to link something like equal pay or reproductive rights to, say, a country's birth rate?
Right. And that's a connection people often get tripped up on. They see, for example, that in societies where women have more rights and opportunities, the birth rate sometimes goes down and they jump to conclusions.
I mean, I can see why that happens, though, right? It seems kind of logical on the surface.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not about simple cause and effect. We have to look deeper. Historically, when women gain more autonomy, things like access to education, job opportunities, control over their own bodies, they also tend to have more say in family planning.
Okay, so it's not that more rights cause fewer babies. It's more about choices, right?
Exactly. It's about agency.
Yeah.
And that's where things get really interesting. Because if you dig a little deeper, you'll find that it's not just about individual choices, but also the larger societal context.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
So let's look at the Scandinavian countries, right? They're often held up as examples of places with high levels of gender equality, strong social safety nets.
And they're always topping those happiest countries lists.
Right, exactly. And guess what? They also tend to have relatively stable birth rates compared to other developed nations.
So what's their secret sauce?
Well, it's not a secret exactly. They've recognized that it's not enough to just say, hey, everyone's equal. You need to back it up with policies that actually support families.
Like affordable childcare.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And generous parental leave policies for both moms and dads. Affordable health care. The list goes on. The point is, they've figured out how to create a system where women can have both a career and a family without having to choose one or the other.
It's like they've found that sweet spot where individual empowerment meets societal support. And it seems like education plays a huge role in all this, right?
Absolutely. It's a total game changer. Think about it. If you have a society where girls are denied education, their options are limited, their earning potential is capped, and often their primary role is seen as motherhood.
It becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy almost.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
But now imagine a society where girls have equal access to quality education. Suddenly their horizons expand. They enter the workforce with valuable skills, contribute to the economy in all sorts of ways.
And pay taxes. Which, if we circle back to our listeners list, brings us to government finances and whether they go bankrupt or not.
Exactly. A well-educated populace fuels economic growth. More economic growth usually means more tax revenue.
Yeah.
And that translates into a more stable government that can actually afford things like, you know, those robust social programs we were talking about.
It all comes full circle. But what about the flip side? What happens when a country doesn't invest in education?
Well, that's where things can get dicey. When a significant chunk of the population lacks access to quality education, it can put the brakes on economic growth. Lower tax revenues, potential government instability.
And suddenly you've got a recipe for those societal issues our listener mentioned, like struggling schools and low birth rates.
Yeah, it's a complex web, right? But the good news is that recognizing these connections is the first step towards actually addressing them.
So what I'm hearing is, if we really want to create lasting change, we can't just slap Band-Aids on the symptoms. We need to address the root causes, those underlying systems that are all interconnected.
100%. Whether we're talking about women's rights, government budgets, or those seemingly distant birth rates, it's about understanding the bigger picture. And that's what makes these kinds of conversations so important.
So to our listener who threw down the gauntlet with this mind-bending list, thank you. You've given us a lot to think about.
Absolutely. And to everyone listening, next time you encounter a complex societal issue, ask yourself, am I looking at the whole picture, or am I just focusing on a single isolated piece of a much larger puzzle?
Because sometimes the most effective solutions come from understanding how those seemingly separate pieces all fit together.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And that's a wrap on another deep dive.